Hello, hello. How's it going?
Oh, not bad. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Long time no talk.
Right,
Besides
right.
text
You've been
message.
on yeah, but text message, but yeah, long time no podcast. Holy.
Long time no podcast. Yeah, no, it'd
Oh.
be nice to get back at it.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I guess you might as well start us off. Well, welcome guys back to Blue Collar Interviews. Chase Barber, first co-host Jordan Willie.
Been
Sorry
a
about
long
the
time.
year long. I think we're just gonna go back, try and get back in the old school podcast. Like we got so busy that this way was easy because I basically just phone you on the phone and record the phone conversation, and like that's.
Yeah, I did like the videos. It was neat to do, but it was just hard to organize it. It was getting hard to organize. And then this winter's just been stupid busy, which we'll catch up on and talk about, sure. But, oh,
Yeah,
been crazy.
we might as well just do a little update on what's going on. You got a Zoom
Okay.
room? That's awesome.
No, that's on my list of things to talk about. But I want to talk to you about Manitoba weather this year. It has been unbelievable. We have been plus weather more than we've been minus weather in Manitoba this year.
Oh, same.
I'm not kidding. And like Manitoba is notoriously the worst place in Canada in winter, and it's been just sunny.
Oh man, that's it's been crazy. Like we've had almost no snow this year at all.
We're actually it's funny now I've talked about our good weather. We're at, like this week we just had our first like snowstorm. On Monday we got a foot and a half, and today we got about 6 8 inches. So nothing crazy, but like this is the first big dump of the year, and
Yeah.
it's just been warm weather, so.
We've had almost no snow except for both times where we've tried to drive Topsy home. We get hit with a huge snowfall. We're like, all right, back, bam, big snowfall. We're like, all right, I guess we'll wait a few little next week. Bam, big snowfall. And you're like, fuck sakes, this truck, I just want to get the truck home.
Yeah, that's funny. No, there was a big one. I thought that was just crazy that we've actually been having good weather. It's funny though. I know I said, "Oh, I'm so busy this winter." I have been busy. I did take some time off though, and I was in Arizona, so it was nice weather when I went to Arizona on my way out. And then when I got back, I got like 2 days of minus 40. And then that's been it. That's like the only minus four we've had this year. So,
We had one cold snap that was minus 30, but I was down in Texas that week and missed the entire thing. So.
nice. Just like I had to just dodge in it. So, no,
Yeah.
it's pretty sweet. Okay, telehandler. I bought a telehandler. I did want to talk about it. It's pretty sweet. If anyone in Manitoba needs it, it's a Manitou MRT. So it's a rotating telehandler, which I think is so dope because it's like a little crane, and I have a crane attachment to it, like for it. So I can just sit there and crane shit around. Like it's actually really fun.
Like an excavator chassis where it rotates?
Yeah,
I'm...
it's got a house on it. So
Oh, that's dope as fuck.
yeah, it's way cooler than a regular telehandler. I'm not like I'm not a telehandler fan, but this makes it cool.
A big telehandler guy. Like telehandlers are cool, but I'm not gonna like rush out to like put it like it's got like a rotating thing so you can like spin it 360. Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool. Like I bought it because I do a lot of tree removal, and it was an auction. It was an auction in GP. This thing's out of Grand Prairie, and I've wanted one, and I wanted to always get one with a tree shear on it, so I could sit in one place and like take down trees. So that's my goal. I still haven't bought the tree shear, but I was like, okay, this is my goal. But it's got a man basket, so I can still take down trees. So I'm like, okay, I'll justify it by my tree work, and then maybe one day do custom crane work, some tree shear work. So pretty excited.
That's awesome. Well, good for you, man.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it works out. It was quite the buy. The auctioneer talked me into it.
Oh,
Like he's live on there. It was one of those live auctions, and he was calling me out as Manitoba because he knows where the bidders are out of. That's it. So he's like, "Oh, come on, Manitoba, that's all you got on my last bid." So I upped her one more.
actually listen to the auctioneer.
Oh yeah, that was live. I was just sitting there, and he's on his phone, like it's on the phone, and he's just giving her, and he's between me, and he's like, "Come on, Alberta, come on, Manitoba," and he's ripping us on, and I went higher because of that.
Oh
But
man,
I'm happy.
I listened to that on mute. I can't stand that auctioneer talk. Like it's kind of cool for a little bit, but like when you gotta listen to that all day, you're like, what the fuck? Like mute. I'll just like it doesn't give me any more information. I can't understand what the fuck you're saying. You're saying it so fast. Half of it's gibberish. Like I'll just see the price. Like, dude, I can see what the price is on the online option. It's a button that I'm clicking.
You want to know how psychotic I am? I put my AirPods in and I'll listen to the auctioneer when trucks are coming up that I might be interested in. So I'll be like in a machine listening on my phone and with my AirPods listening to an auction, just gibberish.
Oh, that's you're fucked.
It is a little wacky, I'll admit. Yeah. Just be sitting there. Bit of one, bit of one, bit of one, bit of two now.
Come on, come on, come on. Yeah.
Just gibberish. So that's my little winter update. I'm sure there's lots more we'll get into that I remember. But what about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, not much.
Not much? That's BS. Edison's been up to tons of stuff. No?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Edison's been up to a lot. I went to Ukraine on vacation a few months back. That was kind of fun.
Ukraine on vacation. That is kind of wild.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were in the city we were in got a missile strike at night.
Oh, that's not scary at all.
Yeah, no, that one was kind of scary. But other than that, real nice, real friendly people, great food.
I think it'd be pretty nice there. It looks like it's a really nice country.
Oh, beautiful country. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I highly recommend Ukraine, once things end.
There was a video online. It was a viral video. And this guy was telling, he was like, you got to go to countries when they're in, times like this. Like, he said, after natural disasters, but, war times, too. Like, that's the best time to go visit. It's really slow.
There was no tourism. Hotels were cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's driving and we're following an ambulance and people fucking suck at driving. Like, dear God, the ambulance is trying to get through, but people can't get over to the right and they're slamming on their brakes in front of the ambulance. So traffic is, instead of doing 110 like we were before, is doing 60 because they're oh, there's an ambulance. I got to slow down and move over. But don't slow down. Front of the ambulance. If you can't, or do 110 and then move over. Don't just slam on your brakes and cause a merge thing in front of the ambulance.
That is a good point. I've never thought about it. Yeah, you're making it worse.
On the tail of the ambulance trying to make good time, and then everyone's just fucking us over here.
Hey, Theron's there. What's up, Theron?
Jordan, what's is up? We're
good. That's good, man.
That's exciting.
Are we announcing that? Are we talking about that?
Yeah, we can announce that on Blue Collar interviews the kind of the first time we're really publicly announcing it. But yeah, we got our VIN number, registration, license plate. Gonna be heading up to Clonell here to put the plate on tomorrow. And
nice.
We're still gonna bring down the flow hydraulic because we're gonna do some high speed testing, flow hydraulic loops, and we're gonna before we've been off road only, so I haven't been able to
take it up to highway speeds in the testing. So we'll do highway speed testing for.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. I've been really waiting on that. I know everyone, I know all the followers obviously have been too, because just pinning onto it, running around in parking lots, super exciting, awesome, cool we got to do it. But actually some highway testing is really, really essential and really something we want to show off too. So very excited about that.
Oh, 100%. And actually getting a license plate, registration, a VIN number is huge. That was a ton of work. I cannot, videos do not do that justice, because there's nothing exciting about filming office work for 10 hours a day. Be like, oh look, forms again and again and again, and redoing slight things. We're working on getting our VIN number and registration. It's a one sentence thing, but it encompasses 6 months worth of work.
Yeah. Will it get easier now, though, the process? For the next trucks, will it be easier?
Probably. But, yeah, it'll definitely be easier now that we've already gone through it once. But, it'll still be a pain.
The process is still, the same for the other trucks.
Yeah. It'll be slightly easier, but because it's not going to be the first time. But, yeah.
Oh, dang. Well, hey.
Looks great. How getting invited to Parliament and a little bit of support.
Yeah, man, that thing is super annoying, yelling at you to keep your eyes on. Look at the fucking road. It's interfering with the pod. Where my mom looks off of the road. We're doing 30 kilometers an hour in a traffic jam, but if Theron looks away from the highway, it yells at him to keep his eyes on the road. Shut the fuck up, Subaru. Control's got automatic lane steering. The whole car drives for yourself. My mom's got a wicked fancy car. Sorry, we borrow it.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, so we had a nice winter, so my truck's four-wheel drive broke on me a few weeks back. I was like, oh, it's a nice winter. Who cares? I'll get it going when I have the time. And now that we're in a storm, I'm like, oh, you're such an idiot, Jordan.
I'm looking at the road.
It's funny. Theron's losing his mind. He's literally looking at the road, and the car's constantly, buzzing and beeping that he's not looking at the road.
That's annoying. That would be super annoying.
Oh, it's quite annoying. This is exactly why I hate new technology, because of shit like this, where it's constantly the IE is physically looking at the road and the car's vibrating and beeping and sending all sorts of alarms that he's not looking at the road.
I was driving a Dodge minivan, it was a Chrysler minivan in Arizona, and it had the lane assist. I didn't mind it, but my old man hated it because, like, it would fight you really hard if you started to veer off the lane a little bit. And if you signal it, like, cancels it out. But, like, you know, he likes to rip around, doesn't always signal. So he would just be fighting the thing. And he said it, like, would muscle him. Like, it would, like, really fight him to go over. Like, oh, gee, that sucks. Like, just let me drive.
Yeah, this one also does that, too. And, like, beyond that, it's got – everything is controlled off touchscreen. The fan for the blower, the temperature controls, the heated seats. Literally everything is controlled off touchscreen, and we lost our touchscreen driving it in like a new car. So we're just sitting there on like heater full blast because the center console touchscreen stopped working. So it's like, oh, good thing I turned it on my feet that are super hot. Like, what if the window starts fogging up? We're in a storm, can't turn it on to defrost because it's only available on the touchscreen, and the touchscreen currently stopped working. It started working like half an hour later, but for half an hour, we were just on like full roast heat with nothing working.
Okay, that's I hate tech. Okay, speaking of hating tech and stuff like that in vehicles, that door handle picture you guys just posted, I thought that was pretty funny and pretty ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. So those people that don't know about that one, we posted a thing. Do you know that the new Kias, BMWs, and all that require software update? And I think it was Kia based on what I was reading on the post. And basically Kia's like, oh, we need to give a software update to the door handles here. So you just got to take off the door handles out of the car, plug them in, and then update them.
A software update for door handles. I can't believe that.
Yeah, they're like, well, it's got the thumb scanner, touch scanner thing that like reads your key fob as you get there remotely and closely, and it'll read your key fob, and we're going to adjust the proximity sensors on it and whatever. But, like, are you fucking kidding me that you need a fucking update to a door handle? Like, the absurdity that we are at technology-wise on you'll own nothing and be happy is insane.
You'll own nothing and be happy. Holy Klaus Schwab over here.
Well, I mean, come on. You need software updates to your door handle or your vehicle won't work.
Well, the people who love this stuff, it's like, hey, guys, we're getting to the point where, like, hey, you pay your ticket. You didn't pay your ticket. Oh, you're not allowed to drive your car anymore. We're turning it off. Like, ugh, I'm worried about that.
Oh, well, and now they're putting in speed restrictors. Like, in BC, you're not going to be allowed to drive your truck anymore at over 105.
What? Like, you have to have a speed restrictor.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and California's like talking about putting it in cars and be like, okay, what's the max speed limit in the state? Okay, all vehicles have to have a speed limit. Man, that beeping is so annoying.
I'm looking at the road.
He took a sip of water. And he's like, okay, I'm going to look at the road, take a sip of water, and the car is currently yelling at him for taking a drink of water.
That is ridiculous.
What's the point of all these self-driving features if you take hey, we got self-driving, automatic braking, automatic adaptive cruise control, lane keeping, but you better not have a fucking sip of water while you're driving this car. You just stare at the road like a robot bored.
Yeah, I couldn't handle it. I'm okay, like 2008, that's peak vehicle technology. We just got into, maybe 2010, just got Bluetooth in all the vehicles. You had dials for everything, techie. That's all, that's as far as it needed to go. Things have gone too far.
It's gone too far. It is such bullshit. I think it's, people are like, how are you able to build a truck so quickly, so cheaply? I don't know. Maybe we didn't need to write software for our fucking door. Probably take a few months of production time off.
Yeah, yeah. Make things a lot more simple. You don't, God, so many unnecessary things.
So many just absolute bullshit. Like, although we saw one EV company at the show we went to today. Then I was actually like, oh my God, this guy's doing the right thing. Simple door handles, uses like the same turn signal, like Topsy has that common one, like very just like simple off the shelf. And they built like a little pickup truck.
I saw that TikTok. That thing looked pretty neat. Like I did like all the things you pointed out, like that signal, like you said, it's been in everything. Like yeah, that's the standard buy from any auto parts, semi parts store. And then that roof vent, like those side vents, those things were pretty neat. Like just as simple as can be, and definitely probably a lot more cost effective than like a Rivian or something.
Oh, fuck. If you look at the difference in price when you're looking at like $8,000 versus $80,000, and you're like, oh, you can work on it, repair yourself. It's simple, and you drive around. I don't know what the actual cost is, but like, you know, $10,000 versus $100,000, you're like, wow, like, okay. The
Yeah.
average needs a little decent, reliable work truck. Like, that's probably what you want.
You didn't find out the price. I'm like, that'd be a sweet little work rig for 10 grand. I'd buy that.
Oh yeah, I don't know what the price actually was. Said and done, who knows? Maybe it's 20, but it's still gonna be a fifth of the price of a Rivian, even at 20.
Yeah. I've been truck shopping lately. Looking at old Super Duties again. I have an addiction with old Super Duties. It's kind of a thing. It's a problem.
Got to put some electric axles in her.
I would like to. I've been thinking about that lots. Like, if I might break the bank a little bit, but it'd be really handy and really cool to like have one in Manitoba, like have the swap done in Manitoba. But
Well,
gotta figure. Pardon?
you got money.
I
Fuck.
had money, and then I bought a telehandler cash, and I lost all my money. Let's just keep moving forward.
Like that now?
Yeah. Okay. I dropped off the go-kart kit to the school today in Minnedosa. So I'm in Mendosa, Manitoba, and at my high school, I sponsored them, and Chase shipped out a kit for me, and I got it sent to the school here, and they're pretty excited about it. So I'm really pumped.
Those things are way faster than I thought they were. Like,
Are they
oh my.
faster than the ones we had?
Oh, like, compared to the last ones we had, they're easily like three times faster.
What? Those ones
Three
were
times.
decent, I thought.
Oh no, these new ones fucking rip. Like, it was to the point where we got them and we're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have given this to a bunch of high school kids to race. We've created a huge liability.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put some like throttle restrictions on these things.
I am sure it's gonna go poorly. But
How many schools are like picked up and working on them?
oh, there's like 10, 40 schools, but there's 10 schools that never grab their kits. And I'm like, fuck, I guess at this point I'm just gonna do a thing and be like, all right, if we could find another school or two, we'll probably get them out to those schools. Like, this, okay, if it's been a month, they've had a month to pick up their kits. If they haven't gotten their kits in a month, we can find somebody else.
Yeah, well,
If somebody has it rather than that one.
exactly. Like it's best to get it someone to actually do something with. I don't know if our school's gonna be able to afford the trip out there for the competition, but they're gonna try. I was talking to the shops teacher today, and he's gonna put in some paperwork and see what he can do. So,
Oh, nice,
it.
nice.
I don't like there's schools from Ontario in there. Like I don't know. Like they're planning on doing the trip too, or.
No, we're just gonna do an event in Ontario.
Oh, okay. So like I guess like if it's Southern Ontario, it'd be closer for me to go to BC, but we'll
Yeah,
see.
Ontario, like probably around the boss garage's yard.
Yeah. We'll
Oh,
see.
speaking of places and all that, the offer got approved today on the shop.
Nice. Nice. That's the shop. You guys, I guess for listeners, tell more details about you guys were talking about that. I haven't seen any pictures or anything.
Publicly, right. I forget we're doing blue collar and not just a phone update.
Wait, we're not supposed to say that?
Well, I guess we said it now. So
I can edit it out if you want.
we might as well be open.
Okay.
A blue collar bonus, why you listen to blue collar? You get the Chase and Jordan conversation between directors of the company just having a conversation as
Exactly. Exactly.
man, I guess it's been too long doing a podcast when I think I'm just doing an update to you
Just
on
a phone
things.
call, yeah.
So for the listeners, as an update, we went up to Terrace, British Columbia to go look at a shop. It's the old Hayes truck manufacturing rig up facility, like where they look at the Hayes XZ off highway trucks and they would rig them up with their trailers, their bunk, all the log and rigging, and like get them ready to go to work. So we're taking over that shop. It's like a 25,000 square foot facility. Has 5,000 square feet of additional office space. Beautiful one. Buying it off of the 90-year-old owner of the facility that used to own it back when it was Hayes.
That's pretty neat. I'm sure he was pretty big fan of you guys picking it up.
Yeah, there was one other offer on it though. We got up there. It's a perfect shop. Seems great. And then the realtor's like, oh, sorry, nobody told you. There's already an offer on this thing. And we're like, fuck. And they're like, but they have till March 4th to finalize their offer. And if you guys want, you can submit a counter offer, like a backup offer. And we're like, all right, we'll put in our name for backup. And you're like, It was supposed to be like a Hyundai dealership. Like they were going to tear the Hayes truck factory down and put up a fucking Hyundai dealership. And we're like, and the owner's like, oh, fuck. I hope they don't say anything. So yeah. They're like, oh, I don't know. Like, they're like, they didn't do anything. They had a couple extensions before we were interested. They had it for like 6 months and didn't really do any due diligence. And then they're like, oh, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they're like, can we get another 3 month extension? And then, of course, Bob, the owner, is like, how about you shit or get off the fucking pot? No. Started doing the due diligence. And they're like, ah, what about environmental? He's like, I don't know, probably a nightmare. I don't know. Like anything to like get these guys. And he's like, I don't think the city would like a car dealership there.
That's funny.
So they backed up. And he's like, I think actually there's better properties than ours, if we're being honest. He's like, you should look down the road. And they're like, oh, thank you. So we scooped it on fuck Hyundai.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet that we got that. Like, it's very exciting, especially with the history there. Like, it makes it a lot cooler of a building to be a part of.
Oh, and like a wicked good deal, too. Like, we really worked with like Ellis Ross, the MP, Mike, the city economic development officer, to really make this deal work. Find a way for us to stay in Canada, because we were looking down at Arizona, Nevada. Like, Nevada offered us free land, just build a shop, you can have like 100 acres of land for free if you're willing to move down here, bring the jobs here. And BC, a lot of it has just been, how about you go fuck yourself and shove it up your ass.
Yeah, that the NDP government, like, that's been really ridiculous, everything you've been talking about. Like, it seems like they have no care or concern where, like you spoke about, Nevada is willing to give land. Like, they want you to build that there. And I don't know why they wouldn't want us more. Like, why they wouldn't be like, man, this is amazing. Let's work on it. Now it's nice to see the PC and the Green Party coming together and being supportive of us, because it just seems so underappreciated.
Oh, they're great. The Conservatives, the Green, all coming out, United, all coming out to be like, man, like, Chase has got the right ideas here. Like we got to back this person. Like, what are you doing? How come they didn't get a grant? Like, there was literally a grant in BC where they were giving away like hundreds of millions of fucking dollars to
electrification of heavy duty
commercial truck grant, with millions and millions of dollars up for grabs for innovation in a heavy duty commercial electric trucks. Like, that's literally could not be more fitting for us.
Yeah.
And then the NDP government's like, nah, these guys go fuck themselves. They don't get the grant.
They gave it to China, like a Chinese company, didn't they?
Yeah, something like that. No, they haven't even released that. Was this grant? They're like, well, who?
And they're like,
we can't release that information for at least 8 months. It's all locked up until the money is out and handed to the people that win. Until they actually have the money, we don't release it publicly. And I'm like, it's fucking taxpayer money. The taxpayer should know where the fuck the money's gone. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you don't give out. You're like, oh, we don't announce who gets the money until they already have the money and it's too late to say anything about it.
Yeah,
like, that's slimy, number one. And then number two, all the bullshit with MNP, like, that's just straight up corruption.
Which bullshit? Sorry.
Oh, well, so MNP administers the grants. Like, they decide who gets the money. It's a company called, that's the name of the company. The BC government hires them to decide who gets the taxpayer money. MNP then writes the grants for companies applying. And MMP reached out to us and be like, hey, can we handle all your grant writing application? And they're like, how much are you going to charge? And they're like, $600,000. And you're like, no, that's way too much to write a 5-page document. I'm not paying $110,000.
A page, yeah.
And then we did this thing, and it's called Clean Tech, or CVIC, Commercial Vehicle Innovation Challenge, who has the money from the government. But then CVIC is actually ran by MNP. We didn't know until we had a meeting for them, and they're like, how come we didn't get this grant? And they're like, oh, you weren't going to spend enough money and you were going to get it done too quickly. You had the best industry partners. You had the best backing, the best support. We liked your project the best, but you weren't asking enough money and your timeline was a little bit too tight. And there's the odd little typo in your registration. Sorry.
Aye.
Like, oh, so we're too efficient, so we can't get the money. No, and then we're like, that's weird. Why does it say MNP? And we looked into it, and they're like, oh, yes, MNP administers a grant. And then MNP also reached out to us after that, and they're like, hey, guys, like, do you guys want to go with us now? Like obviously, if we're being strong-armed into it, and we're like, oh, so you guys decide who gets the grant. So if we don't go with you, I see how it is. Pay the 20% fee. And then they're like,
You're paying for the grant. Like, that's ridiculous.
You just pay the government, and they're bragging, and they're like, oh yeah, we got this minister from the NDP. They left the government. Now, like, this minister came over here, and now they're working directly for us in this role. And you're like, oh, I see how it is.
Yeah, just huge corruption blatantly in your face.
20% success fee. You just pay them a 20%. So in other words, they just want 20% of what the grant is, and then you get the money. And then after we told the BC government, like the NDP, and we're like, yeah, this is what's going on. They're like, this is bullshit. Why? Like, this is absolutely. And then like 2-3 hours later, the BC government, whose department we met with, ran like Clean Plug-in BC, which is a program for BC electric vehicles. And I'm like, I had a speaking engagement at this event. And after, I'm like, oh yeah, this is bullshit, and I'm going to go public with it. And then they're like, all of a sudden, 3 hours later, my speaking engagement got canceled.
Oh, gee. You probably shouldn't have told me. You should have just exposed it quietly. Damn it. But yeah, I know you did anyway, but like at that event, just be like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, no, like, that's exactly what we wanted to say. So yeah, we were literally at the parliament. Like, we got invited and presented to the parliament building by our MLAs. And the MLAs, like, from United and the Conservatives, are like, backed Edison Motors. And they got up there and they're like, this is bullshit. Then the NDP's like, all right, I guess we'll meet with Edison. We told them this, and they're like, oh, I guess it is how it is. Like, is it no valid? They literally told us, they're like, well, we really don't track what happens with these things. We just allocate money for things that we think are interesting for the province. We just hand out the money, and then we really don't track what happens to it afterwards. And you're like, oh yeah, that explains a lot for this fucking country right now.
Yeah, it's the most frivolous government spending. Like, here's a bunch of money. We're going to pay a subcontracted company to do it. They're going to be full of corruption. We don't care. We're not going to follow it. And when they want more money, we're going to give it to them. And then when they don't give it to the people who are deserving of it, and the people are deserving of it, point out why there's corruption going on, we're not going to pay attention. And then we'll give them more money in the end, too.
And then last week,
like, it's just ridiculous.
He announced that, look into this. We'll have a look. Don't say anything publicly yet. We'll have a look.
And then like, a couple days later, they announced that they hired MNP to look into
the success rating for a grant, the success of an electric vehicle grants given out. In a big public statement, they're like, we have now hired MNP to look in and analyze whether the electric vehicle grants that have been given out have been successful or not. So you hired the company that writes the grants to then administer the money for the grant, and then you hired the same company to then check the money efficiently or not, and announce that they will be in charge of all future grants. So
yeah,
that's shocking that they're like that.
Someone's pockets are being padded heavily. Like, that is ridiculous.
Oh my god, like, just so much. Just like, I've met a lot of companies that do really innovative products, like clean tech products, just revolutionary industry products, and everyone I talk to, they're like, yeah, we get no support from the government. It all goes to billion-dollar foreign-owned companies. And then you find out, they're like, oh, this is why that's happening. This is why that money is going to billion-dollar foreign-owned companies. It's all just corruption. And like, we're debating, like, do we say anything publicly or do we just shut up? Because like, yes, it would be easy. Like, if we were any other business, we would shut up, take the fucking money. Like, yeah, okay, we pay out 600,000, but then we get the 4 million. And then like, we met with them and they're like, increase the budget. They're like, the reason was your budget was too low. You applied for like $2 million for that grant. That grant should have been an $8 million. So then we take 1.6 million, you get an extra, like, we take 1.6, you get 6 out of the 8, you were asking for 2, now you'll actually get an extra 4 for yourself. We walk away, there's enough meat on the bone for us, there's enough for you to have a little extra, and that's how it works.
It's
rising that conversation. It's like, as a rational business guy, you would just do the pay to play. Any big company would be like, oh, $4 million and I paid 1.6 million to get, so I'm going to pay 1.something million and I'm going to get, I'll get 6 million if I pay that. Like, oh, well, that's a great return. That's a 3x return. Any rational business would do it. But like, we're like, do we just leave everybody else out that's struggling in BC? Do we point at
And then we're just supporting it. That's a very tough trade off because you're supporting the corruption, but also it's like, oh, we could do a lot of good for things. But then would it come around and bite us in the ass where if we ever speak on it or get mad at it again? Like, hey, this is the bullshit we deal with. This is the corruption we deal with. Now, if you buy into it, then you gotta accept it. Like, you gotta be quiet about it, kind of thing.
It's a hard call.
That is a tough one.
And that's why Jason's tough.
Oh, sorry, that cut out there for a second.
Oh, Darren was like, yeah. So we were like, yeah, I decided not to tell anyone. And, like, the politicians are like, hey, we've got it. Leave this in our court. Like, don't piss off the government. Let us deal with it. We're the politicians. We can do the stuff on it. Like, just let us handle the political things. We can represent it. So give them a few months. Then we're not the big bad guys to piss them off. But, like, fuck, I kind of want to. Because, like, it's...
Well, now that there's some politicians on our side, maybe we should give them a little time to figure it out. If nothing comes of it, I don't know. I'd poke the bear, but
Cox, why do I need to be in the fucking legislative assembly? Like, that's how insane this country is. You're like, hey, I've got a great innovative product people want. We have some orders lined up. They're like, well, you're gonna have to get it heavily involved in politics and corruption just to even eat a Canadian economy. Like, Jesus Christ, like. I'm a truck driver. I'm not a politician. Do I need to become a politician?
So this land in Nevada, is it still for sale? Still available? Let's go. Actually, so
if the NDP gets election again, like, fuck it. We outie. We got the shop in Terrace. We'll overgrow that in probably like 3 to 5 years. Well, all right. Perfect. Shop in Nevada.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm in the States. I'm moving too.
Man, there's just so much needless stuff when you're like, okay, turns out building the electric truck is the easy part of running an electric truck company. Like, turns
that,
out
that is that, wild.
Yeah, honestly, just building the truck was so much easier than dealing with all of the other thing. My job has just been dealing with, like, all of the stuff going on outside of the truck while Eric handles the truck.
Yeah.
But we're making good headway. We got some, because the BC government put that list in there. They said that they weren't happy with us for because we're not owned by a large financial investor. We need to be owned a large certified financial institution. Basically, they put in a special rule that applied to us because they don't like we can say what we can say and do the things we do quite freely because we're owned by our supporters. And they're like, hey, you guys, before you're allowed to do crowdfunding, we got to go through and deal with we got to have a certified financial investor owning that it can invest at least like $2.5 million and has a net worth of X amount or is a registered financial investor. They got to fund it. So I'm like, okay, we met with like UV down in Texas and company. I probably shouldn't say the name, but whatever. Fuck. Met with them, and then they're like, okay, they're a bunch of shitbags. Like, those guys were dicks. Like, just straight up racist, kind of homophobic, just, like, assholes. Like, they were telling guys that, like, Gus went down there with us, and he starts talking. Like, he answers a question, and it's definitely in his wheelhouse, his expertise. He starts talking, and then the guy's like, you need to shut the fuck up. I want to hear from the CEO. And you're like, man, he's the guy to talk more about this aspect, technically.
Yeah, that is absolutely ridiculous, actually.
Shut the fuck up. And it's like, all your parts need to be foreign-made, reduce the cost, make it as cheap as possible, and increase price. He's like, you're lucky I'm even having a meeting like with you. I'm like, what do you mean lucky? You invited us down, big-ass fan of yours, because of the cool stuff you've done before.
Well, it turns out you're kind of a dickhead.
Oh, like... Mm-hmm. Scale up the production like we want now that we got the sales, now that we got the kit. So I'm feeling better. It's just it's such a bullshit rule that
That seems crazy that like we want to grow more like privately, like we want to grow more crowdfunding, like they can say no, you have to go larger with a single investor first. Like, I hate how they can do that or say that seems ridiculous.
No, they like they literally said like, well, we need to be somebody on there that's on the board and invested to make sure you guys don't say the wild things you guys say and do the things that you guys do. We don't like how you do your business. Like, for the government to tell us that, like, dude, what? Like, it's a
shit. They don't like that we're a wild card in the industry.
And the security, yeah. They're like, how come we can't do it? Like, we're approved for crowdfunding the first two times. And they're like, we are the most successful crowdfunding in Canada's history. And they're like, well, we can't because we need somebody on there. And like, they did two financial audits because they couldn't believe that we actually built the track for what we built it for. Two financial fucking audits where they looked at every single purchase and they're like, you must have other secret money you're not declaring. They're like, no, we did it for that. I just lived in my fucking parents' basement and I did $1,000 a month salary, which then they gave me shit about because in the prospectus, it didn't say I was taking $1,000 a month as my salary. I didn't declare that. So we got a warning over that. After like 6-7 months of investigation over the whole thing, all I got was a warning that my salary was like $1,000 a month. Like, really? That's that was worth the whole thing? Like, that's the big issue? Like,
well, how much money did they spend on that? How much money did they spend investigating us? Like, what the hell?
They made us hire lawyers because we couldn't represent ourselves in the Securities Commission because we didn't have our registered whatever. So we spent $60,000 on lawyers to fight the fact that I got $12,000 as a paycheck. And they're like, we need to make sure that the investors' money is protected. Maybe the investors would have been a little bit better off if I didn't spend $60,000 fighting this bullshit. I spent $40,000, $50,000 more fighting this of investor money. I wasted an extra $40,000, $50,000 worth of investor.
Yeah.
Trying to prove that I wasn't wasting investors' money. Are you stupid?
That
is very clear.
No. That's why I'm like, the more you talk, I'm like, just move. Let's just go. I don't know. Would the states be better on us? Who knows?
Who knows? It's one of those ones where, like, what do you do? And they're like, well, we got to make sure absolutely due diligence that those people investing $200-$300 weren't getting scammed. And I get it. There are scams out there. But, like, guys, they could also go into a casino, drop $300 for the weekend, and they don't get 17 pages of paperwork before they put their money down on the roulette table on 13. They're not given 17 pages of risk analysis.
Yeah. Never mind $200-$300. We're talking paychecks.
Limited. Like,
sorry, I was just gonna say, like I'm now seeing more and more gambling commercials from our government, and like Manitoba's their own new like online gambling thing, all that. They're ruining people's lives with online gambling, but we're getting investigated because guys would put in $200 to invest with us. What the hell?
They had this state nation, and now you need, because you're so public, you need certified financial records, which is like $100,000 to get the audited financial records. Like, we're a publicly traded company. And they, even though we're private, it almost, their lawyers are like, yeah, this has never happened before. Like, why are they putting this restriction on you guys? And they said, we act like a publicly traded company because of our presence is so large that we need to meet the following rule of a publicly traded company, even though we're held privately with our shares. Like, what? So because we have extra rules, because we're so open and transparent online, like there's 40 hours of video you could watch on YouTube of everything we have done while we've done it. But because we put out so much open and transparency, we have to pay like hundreds of thousands of dollars for audited financial statements to make sure that we're being open and transparent. Like, you could go out to a penny stock that's a mining company, invest your life savings in a mining exploration company, and there's no auditing, no second backup to that. Like, that's fine because they have a certified piece of paperwork.
But heaven forbid we forgot one thing
that Chase was putting $1,000 on. That's the one that needs to be investigated. Like, holy fuck,
that it's so sad that like they force you into the corruption. Like, it's like I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, we're just not padding the right pockets. But we shouldn't have to pad pockets. That's ridiculous. Like, you can't just start a company and run it. No, they just put their heel on your throat and say, do what we say. This is ridiculous.
At least we got it all done. That's all submitted. It's all passed. We got a little warning over the thing, and everything else is put in place. We just got to find a big investor before we're allowed to do crowdfunding. Either way, yeah. We've ruffled enough feathers that enough people are pissed off at us that they're putting hurdles in our way, or we're not padding the right pockets. We know which pockets we're supposed to pad. We've been like told, pad these pockets, make sure these people get the money, and then we're a little bit more open to do business with you as a government.
Oh my god. I'm seething. Like, I'm so, oh, why is it like this?
It's just, yeah, and they wonder why there's no innovation in Canada stifled. Why our economy going down? Why all these spending programs are being wasted? It's just, it's enough. It just ends up, I could be losing cell service in like 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, no, this is quite the update. I'm glad we got to do it. So.
Oh man, it's been a wild couple of weeks, couple months, really. Just, like I said, when you're trying to build an innovative product, building the product shouldn't be the easy part.
Yeah. No, that's like building a semi from the ground, from the frame rails up, was the easy part. That's ridiculous.
Navigating our super, I don't know whether it's corruption or incompetence of like political landscape and just absolute insanity of bureaucracy is the hard part.
Very frustrating, but you're going to lose service here. I'm glad we got to do an episode here. I feel like we could do another update like next week. Let's just record maybe together again, just more updates on what's going on. So yeah. There's still lots to talk about.
I keep forgetting we were doing it. We probably announced a lot of things and said a lot of things I probably shouldn't have said in this podcast. But
Do you can text me after if there's some things you want me to take out.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, you can't forget to do a podcast. Just a nice phone call. Okay, sounds good. I'll talk to you later.